Be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just worship you with all of our heart. All right, so praise God. Let's go back, if we would, into Galatians chapter 5. I'm doing the third part of the mystery of bearing fruit. The mystery of bearing fruit. Oh, glory to God. I just thank the Lord for all of the blessings that he has brought into our lives. May the Holy Spirit bring spiritual understanding. And may that be released upon you right now in the name of Jesus. May the Holy Spirit rest upon you in spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding is a whole lot different from intellectual understanding. Spiritual understanding is a whole lot different than intellectual understanding. You know, that's good to intellectually comprehend, and the God will bless that, and that is good. But then God takes it another step. He takes it another step with spiritual understanding is when things become alive and they become real to you in your life. Only God can do it. Are you hearing me? Only God can do it. Isn't the Lord amazing? You know, because the word of the Lord, that he says that he has shut out the wise, okay, of this world. Those that they think they're smart and they think that they know have been shut out, because they can take this word and they can read this word and they can study this word, but they can never possess it. They can never possess it, because you can't approach this word the way you would an English book or something that would be in school. And that's what, be honest with you, most seminaries have all become. They're nothing more than an intellectual pursuit, because they don't know how to introduce the Spirit into that kind of a setting. They really don't. They don't know how to do it, and most of their lecturers don't have it in the first place. They got head smarts, and oh, they're smart, okay? But that has nothing to do with spiritual understanding. Only the Spirit can bring it. So you have to humble yourself, whether you're a big, smart guy, and that's good. That's good. Or whether you're not maybe quite so smart, doesn't make no difference, you know. And I love that, you know, right? You know, I love that. You don't have to be smart. You just have to be humble. Everybody say, praise God. Isn't that neat? Isn't that absolutely neat right there? And that you will have open unto you the secrets of God. The secrets of God will be open to you because of your approach, because of the way you do it, the way you come to the Lord. And so God receives you in that manner. You know, so spiritual understanding is released upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, you're going to possess things that you haven't possessed before, and the things that you've read about, you are now going to taste and know and handle in the name of Jesus. Let's go. Let's read right here. We're talking about these fruits, particularly the fruits of the Spirit. You know how, you know, the mystery of bearing fruit, we've been looking at it, and we're going to look at it again, and I'm going to look at it right here. This is in Galatians chapter 5, and this is in verse 22, and it says, the fruit of the Spirit. We've talked a lot about this. It doesn't hurt to have it said again, that this is not your fruit. This is not your fruit. It says it's the fruit of the Spirit. So I have no expectation of producing any of this within myself. I have no expectation whatsoever. You know, matter of fact, I know that within myself that I can't. You know, that's one of the ploys of the evil one. You know what the evil one wants you to do? You know, did you know that one of the fiery darts of the evil one is that he whispers in your ear, he says, try harder. Try harder. Come on. Come on. You didn't know that, did you? You didn't know that the devil will hit you with so-called positive thoughts, but they're the wrong kind of positive thoughts, because they lead to a dead end and they lead to great frustrations and they cause you to not be able to obtain. You know, that's what they'll do. That's what the evil one will do. He'll whisper it to your ear. Come on. Come on. I know you can. I know you can. Come on now. Come on now. You just need to discipline yourself a little bit more. Just want you just come on. Try a little bit harder, because he knows that that's a dead end street. He knows that this is called the fruit of the Spirit. And you can try hard all day long, and it's never going to be produced in that manner. And then that's where Christians get so frustrated. They get so frustrated because all we're doing is we're bearing this fruit in our lives. The fruit comes from the Holy Spirit. Once you really truly grasp that and you really begin to understand that, then you begin to get your eyes off yourself and you begin to have another kind of expectation that fills your heart. And that expectation is that you begin to expect the Holy Spirit to do just exactly what has been promised you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here's those fruits. Let me read them. It says here in 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, okay, is love. And the foundation of that love, and I'm not going to describe each one of these right now. I'm going to go past that. But I want you to see that when you talk about love, every one of these flows out of the love of God. And all of these fruits right here are not just, they're not a humanistic love. You know, it's not you just being more loving. It's the love of God. You know, all of these fruits are a reflection of the character and the nature of Almighty God. They all come from God. They're all being ministered to you and given to you through the promise of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, so what I would say to you is, relax. Relax. And let the Holy Spirit bring them. Let the Holy Spirit bring them. There's a catch. There's always a catch, isn't there? You know, there's a catch. And that is that he's got to be allowed to come in and possess the areas of your life where you need those fruits. And if you will let him come in and take control with no bargaining before him, then he will come in and he'll take charge. And then what he will do is that he will begin to attack the things that do not look like Jesus in that realm or that area. You've got a temper? Well, there's something that's causing the temper. I talked about that last week. I won't go back over that again, but I will refer to it. You know, you got a temper? Well, you know, well, there's a trigger to that temper. You know, it's not because your mama had a temper. It's not because your daddy had a temper. You know, there's a trigger to all of that. There's an internal mechanism that is going on that you may know and you may not know, but the Holy Spirit knows. And he goes in and he begins to invade that area of your life, no matter what it would be. I use anger or temper because it's so easy to identify and look at. But it can be many, many things. It doesn't have to be in that manner. It can be all the way down to attitudes, you know, that go on. Is why am I like that? You know, and you don't know. That doesn't look like Jesus. The Holy Spirit starts getting your attention, and he speaks to you. And he says, that doesn't look like Jesus. That doesn't look like Jesus. That's not of God, you know, for you to talk like that, for you to have that mindset, for you to have that attitude, for you to have that mannerisms. It's mannerisms, you know. And you didn't see anything wrong with that mannerism for years, and then all of a sudden that mannerism, that's ugly. It's ugly. You know, you didn't even see. Maybe everybody else saw how ugly you were, but, you know, you didn't even see how ugly you were. And now all of a sudden you start seeing how ugly you were. You know, why am I like that? That's the Holy Spirit breaking things down, you know. And you know what the church has been taught today? Rebuke it. Yeah. That's what the church has been taught today, because that in the church today, that's called condemnation, right? Live for Jesus, go the narrow way, and don't go the broad way is destructive, be holy. Oh, you're condemning me. That's the reaction to the church today, right? You're condemning me. You know, I feel bad about myself. Aren't I supposed to come to church and feel good about myself when I walk out the door? That's the mindset of churches today, right? Make me feel good, Pastor. I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to live any different than what I've been living, but make me feel good. Tell me how much God loves me, even though I won't change. You're not going to hear it from me, okay? Because that's your destruction. That's your destruction, right? I don't want you to be condemned. That's the work of the evil one. But there's a difference between being convicted and being condemned. And the church today doesn't understand the difference. It doesn't understand. You know, why do I feel that way? Why do I act that way? What's that mannerism come from? And then the church today, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, you're just being condemned. God loves you anyway. You better be careful with that one. Right? He does love you. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son according to the word of the Lord. But he didn't send his only begotten son so that you could remain the same. It's so that you could be delivered. You could be transformed by the power of God. And that you could bear these fruits of the Spirit that are reflective of his nature. You know, a lot of times the way we approach these fruits of the Spirit is we approach them from the standpoint of because I have a circumstance. I have a circumstance where, you know, if I had that fruit, that circumstance, you know, that's, and that many times is our motivation. Well, that can be a motivation. That's okay to have that as a motivation. But you know what this is about even more than any of that? It's so that you can enjoy God. Well, there's a new thought. Right? You know, so that you can enjoy God, that you, because you are in him. Everybody say, I'm in Jesus. Now, there's a start of a confession right there. I'm in Jesus. You know, you start making that confession, because if you are in the Lord, then you begin to make that confession about yourself. And then you begin to see that this belongs to me in the Lord. This belongs to me. I don't care how much I don't have it. It belongs to me. You know, and so as the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and because you give him control, and this is one, the main secret here, you give him control. You don't bargain with him. You don't say, I need this fruit because of this right over here is happening to me. You know, we pick and choose. He's not going to let you pick and choose. He will bring them where you need them. He'll bring every one of them because they're all of him. They're not in little categories, right? They're the character and the nature of God. They are the fruit of the presence of the Spirit. Did you hear that? That's what they are. They are the fruit of the presence of the Spirit. Okay? They're the fruit of the Spirit. He'll tear down every wall. He'll tear down every barrier. He'll expose everything that needs to be exposed. He'll uproot everything that needs to be uprooted. There's absolutely no stronghold that'll be able to stand against him. And he will bring it down. He'll bring it down brick by brick by brick by brick by brick by brick by brick. And you will be transformed. Boy, so it's so that we can have a deeper fellowship and a deeper relationship, and that we can inherit what God has said that belongs to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, his character, his nature, the way of the Spirit, because I'm no longer in the flesh. Everybody say, I'm no longer in the flesh. You know, I'm no longer in the flesh because I'm in him. Everybody say, I'm in him. You know, I'm in Jesus. I'm no longer in the flesh. I'm now in the Spirit. Everybody say, I'm in the Spirit. You keep saying those things and believing them and confessing them, what belongs to you, and watch the transforming power of God come into your life. You know, so that's what these fruits are about. And let me read on. And then it says here again in 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. These are wonderful, wonderful treasures to be flowing in our life. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. You know, so you understand, because we're in the Spirit, we're no longer under the law. I want you to hear that again. Because we're in the Spirit, because we're now in Jesus, we're no longer under the law. The law pertains to all that are in the flesh. You were in the flesh, but you're no longer in the flesh. You're now in the Spirit. I know that may sound confusing, but you keep running after that, and all of the clarity of God will come into your heart, all right? You were in the flesh when you were in Adam. Do you know how hopelessly lost that you really were? Do you really? Do you know that it didn't have anything to do with what exact sins that you were committing or not? It didn't make any difference because it didn't have anything to do with particular sins. Do you know that? You know what it had to do with? You were in the flesh, and all flesh are under the law. And you were immediately condemned because you were a lawbreaker before Almighty God. Do you get it? Do you get it? It's because you were in the flesh. How did I get in the flesh? Because I was born after my father. Who's that? Adam. Adam. Adam of the garden. He became a living soul, the word says. He became a man of flesh because he chose the way of the flesh. And all those born after him were born in the flesh, or born, their life was found in the flesh. And that's what that means, to be in the flesh or be in the spirit. I'm in this fleshly body, but I'm not of this fleshly body. That no longer am I finding my life in this fleshly body. I find my life in the spirit, because I am no longer in the flesh. Me, I, now I'm in the spirit. I'm in Jesus. I'm in the new man of Jesus. Do you understand? That's why those fruits of the spirit belong to me, because it's of that man. All right, look on a little bit further, because I hit this last week and I want you to see it. And it comes on down in 23. It says gentleness and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Okay, 24 says, this is a big statement. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus, look here, have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Did you see that? Now that's a truth. That is a legal truth of what Jesus accomplished for you and me on the cross. That is a legal truth of that of your inheritance in Him. I don't care what you're experiencing right now. This is the legal truth of where you are if you are in Jesus. Now let me look at it again, because it says those who belong to Christ. If you belong to Jesus, then what's happened? Have crucified, that's a death. Have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Do you know that when Jesus died on the cross, do you know, because he became a sacrifice for sin, do you know that you were in him? And you died with him in the flesh? You were born in Adam. And you were in him. You weren't in the garden, but you were still in him. That's why you were born a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus was born. Look at this. Let's look at a couple of things. Keep that right there, and I'm going to look at that in just a minute. You see that truth right there. And I don't want to just stop there. I want to look at a couple of things. Go over to Galatians 4, right, real quick. Go over to Galatians 4, and then look over here at verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son. Now look at this. Born of a woman, right? Born of a woman under the law. Now that's very interesting, isn't it? Because did you just read over here? You know that it said right here, let me read again in verse, I'm over it, just hold on where you're at. Let me read. This is in Galatians 5:23. It says, against such things there is no law. All right? All right, now look here. Jesus was born under the law, just as you were. Are you hearing that? Because he was born of a woman. What's that mean? It didn't say he was born of a man, he was born of a woman. It was because he was all man. Do you understand that? Do you understand that Jesus laid down all of his glory? He did not accomplish his task through the power of his deity, although he was an anointed of the Holy Spirit. But he was all of man, and he followed after the love and obedience of God completely, totally. And he was made perfect. And he was made perfect for what reason? So that he could be the perfect sacrifice for sins. Your sins, my sins, the sins of all men who were cursed under the law because they were in the flesh. You were crucified in him. Born of a woman. Well, let me give you a couple of other scriptures. That means that the seed of Adam was not in him, but the seed of Adam was in you. The seed of Adam was in me. And all those that are born after the flesh, the seed of Adam, and the curse of being born in the flesh under the law and being a lawbreaker, a sinner, hopelessly lost. Do you understand who you were? It had nothing to do how bad you were. I really wasn't that bad, you know? Well, I didn't really do that much. Well, I got saved when I was 10. You know, what kind of sins did I have in my life at that time? It didn't make any difference. You were condemned. Do you understand? You were hopeless. You were helpless. And there was nothing that you could do about it because you were in the flesh. You could be the best goody-two-shoes that ever lived, and it wouldn't make any difference whatsoever because you were still in the flesh. Without hope of any kind. Had nothing to do with what you did or what you didn't do. It had to do with who you were. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that absolutely amazing? And then Jesus came, our Savior, made in our likeness, became a man, lived as a man, but without the seed of Adam within him. And he obeyed. When his ministry started, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, but he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit until that time. He was perfect. He did not have the seed of Adam. And so when it came to that cross, to die as a sinner, he could offer himself. And that's what he did. He offered himself. He said, "No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down freely." Do you get it? That's because he chose the way of trust, of love, and obedience to God the Father, because this is the will of the Father. And he trusted it all into the hands of God the Father. That's why we receive of him through trust and love. We trust in the work that he's done for us, and we receive his love. That's called faith. And so we freely receive of what he has accomplished. But he came for that reason, so he could die for sins. Born of a woman. Isn't that amazing? Listen to this one. Listen to this one. You know, listen to this. This is Romans 8:28. Listen to what it says. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You get that? So, you know, understand, when you receive Jesus, that's why we talk about you're born again. That means that you, the real you, comes out of the flesh. Comes out of the flesh. You're no longer in the flesh. Yes, you still have this fleshly body. But you, the real you, the eternal man, okay, that's going to live forever, are no longer in the flesh. But now you, the real you, are now in Jesus. And because you, the real you, is in Jesus, glory to God, I'm in the Spirit. Because I'm in Jesus. Because I was crucified with him. Listen to this. About Jesus. Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled." Did you hear that? I read it too fast. "And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." What about that cross? Well, here's Hebrews 12:2. It says, "Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame." Why did he do it then? Because he did it out of love and obedience to God the Father, because it was the will of the Father. That's why he did it. That's why you can obey God, because that's all been established in that new man. And that's where you're at if you're in Jesus, is in that new man. That's why anything that looks insurmountable, looks absolutely too difficult, looks absolutely too hard, there's no way you can do it. Well, you're right if you're going to do it in the flesh. But in the spirit, it's already been accomplished, because Jesus accomplished it. I can never be that obedient. No, you can't, but in you, Christ Jesus can. You got to be courageous in the Lord, and you got to be believing in the Lord. You got to be a forward-going person in the Lord, and it never stops till you go and be with the Lord. Let me read there again. I got you in Galatians 4, right? Well, look here. Look, here's 4 again, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Here's verse 5. In order that he might redeem those who were under the law. Did you hear that? That he might redeem those who were under the law. That was you. That was me. Or he might redeem those who were under the law. Look here. Look here. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Because he was a son, we become a son. We were born after the first Adam. We were born again into the last Adam. In the first Adam, I was born in the flesh. I was hopelessly lost. Hopelessly. Hopelessly. No good deed could I do that would ever redeem me. There was nothing. You know, live perfect, as you want to call it. I'm still a sinner because I'm in the flesh. Do you get it? Because you were in the flesh. And then in Jesus, you're no longer in the flesh. You now receive him because he was the first born of a new man. You get that? Because he didn't have the seed of Adam in him. He was the firstborn of many brethren, those of the Spirit, no longer of the old Adam, but in Jesus called the last Adam. So you don't have to do half the things the devil tells you that you got to do. All right, let's move quickly. All right, I want you to come over here. Look over here at Romans 8. Let's go over to Romans 8 because I want you to see this real quick. Now, we're getting back to that final word. I'm going to read it again as you're going over to Romans 8. I'm going to read this again. That was over in Galatians 5. Here it is again, verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Do you get that now? Why is that? Because you were in him. As Jesus died in the cross, you died also. Woo! Isn't that something? We don't make enough emphasis, in my opinion, about that. But we are going to do that here now today. Romans 8, are you in Romans 8? Look, you've read this before. Come on down here and look here. In Romans 8, verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. He did. All right? Okay, what was that? Sending his own son. Now, how did he send his own son? Look at this. In the likeness, did you see that? In the likeness of sinful flesh. You know, that was God. Jesus was all of man. Jesus was all man, but he walked perfectly, and he had no sin found in him. Now look here, the latter part of 3, and as an offering, do you see that? As an offering for sin. In other words, he was going to pay the price for sin. See, that's why the blood of goats and bulls could never take away sin, and that's why it's called atonement, okay? I hate when I hear people refer to the atoning blood of Jesus because he didn't. I know you don't know any better. We're taught that. We've been taught that all of our lives in church, but it's been wrong. The atoning blood of Jesus. No, I'm sorry. He didn't atone. Look it up. The word atone means to cover. It means it's not taken away. It hasn't been removed. It's still there. That's why the Hebrews says they had to sacrifice year after year after year after year. Why? Because it was still there, right? But once and for all, right? Woo! Jesus paid the price to do away with sin. It's what the word says. By the offering of himself. How could that be? Because the blood of both goats and bulls can't take away sins. How could that do? How could it take me as a man, an eternal being, okay, made in the likeness of God? How could that take away my sins? It never could. But Jesus came as the perfect offering for sin. Look on. Here's that verse 3 again. All right, you looking with me? God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, look here. He condemned sin in the flesh. You shall have power no more. That's what Jesus did to sin. He condemned it. Everybody say he condemned it. He condemned it. All right, look on another verse here, verse 4. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Oh, hallelujah. The law was satisfied. What do you mean satisfied? I died in him because I was condemned to the sentence of eternal death. And it was satisfied in him. The law was satisfied in him, that it could have no more jurisdiction over me again. Let me read on, verse 4 again. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. All right, who are us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit? Why is that? Because I'm no longer in the flesh. I was made to die in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I got one last point here that we need to see. And that is coming over here to Romans chapter 7. Look, and this is, good Lord, been butchered to pieces in the church. This first part of Romans chapter 7. Because it's got nothing to do with divorce and remarriage in the church. Absolutely nothing to do. If we could, for one minute, grab a hold of ourselves and that we could read something maybe in context, then we would understand that he's using an example of the law. And he's talking about what the law said about marriage and remarriage, because it has nothing to do with marriage and remarriage in the church. It's talking about what we've received as an example in Jesus. That's the context. How do you know that? Well, okay. Bear with me before we even start. Romans 6. Come on, real quick. Come and be with me. All right, verse 5 says, let me read verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. Did you see that? In order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Here's verse 5. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. All right, boy, and then come on down, and I will another time go and read more in Romans 6. Let's go on down to, let's read these last verses. Here is verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then you just saw what we read into Romans 8, when it just told us very clearly about Jesus' sacrifice. This is the context of Romans 7. Now let's read it. Romans 7, verse 1. Or do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law. Okay. We're talking about people that are under the law. That's people in the flesh. That the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. Do you see that? As long as you're alive, that law has jurisdiction over you. Do you understand? Here's verse 2. Now, this is an example of this. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning her husband. Why? Because he's dead. Now she can be married to another. Now I want you to hear me. Now that she's dead, she can be married to another. Did you hear me? Now that she's dead, or he's dead, she can be married to another. Okay. All right. Now let's go on in verse 3. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she's joined to another. Now, after having said those things, you can see that he's using this as an example because of what he says in verse 4. Verse 4 says, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. You were crucified in Jesus so that you could be married to another. While you were in the flesh, you couldn't be married to another. There's no way. You couldn't be married to another. Why? You were already bound. You were married to that law because you were in the flesh. But you were made to die in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, you were free that you could marry another. And that another was Jesus. Let's go on. We'll close here. All right, let me read 4 again. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. Now here, go on, verse 5. For while we were in the flesh, did you see that? The sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. Then here's verse 6. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound.